missionary letters. Oh, well. Bummer. Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 1. And we'll only stay there just for a moment, and then we'll move on. Some of you, when we read that text, you probably thought, this is kind of an odd text to read for Thanksgiving, because it's kind of, you know, Paul gave a strong and pretty sad documentary of the depravity of mankind in that particular chapter. But I want to talk to you tonight about a few things to be thankful for, but I want to go back to this verse 21 for a moment, and I want you to notice something. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but then it says, neither were they what? They weren't thankful. That's a sad commentary on people, being unthankful. Probably the two most common sins that believers are guilty of are unthankfulness and selfishness. And I don't know which one's one and which one's two, but I think they're probably the top two sins that most Christians you could point a finger at and say they're guilty of that. Now, I also want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice this downhill digression. Notice what it said in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Now they became fools. So they went from unthankful, and now they're fools. So they're there. Now look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. So now God is like, you know, I'm going to give you people over. So God gives them over to uncleanliness. Then if you jump down a little further to verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. And then when you get to verse 28, it's not good. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God gave them up, and then it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a downhill spiral for sure. And I don't know that I can say it began with unthankfulness, but here it certainly was. Certainly they were unthankful. It probably actually began when they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. And they began to make themselves up their own gods, and they rejected the God of the Bible. That a man, any man or woman, can breathe God's fresh air, that we could, I know in New York this doesn't happen much, I guess, bask in the sunshine, walk on God's earth, enjoy God-given health, and not be thankful, that really is a sad commentary on the depravity of mankind. Thanksgiving Day came about because there was some godly pilgrims, and in spite of their hardship, could not overlook the blessings of God in their life. Listen, I will say it the second time, despite their hardships, they still recognized the blessings of God. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln had listened evidently to a lady, Mrs. Hale, who for about 17 years before that had tried to get Thanksgiving Day as a day of, to recognize it as a national holiday. But then in that year, President Lincoln listened to her evidently, and the first Thanksgiving proclamation since President Washington was president. And I think it's a wonderful thing. The psalmist said, and we're not going to turn to a lot of scriptures, but I am going to give you a lot of scriptures from the book of Psalms, especially tonight. But the psalmist said in Psalm 27:1, I'll probably refer to this verse three times, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, a blood-bought child of God should experience thanksgiving every single day of our life. For the blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Psalm 68:19 says. And then in Psalm 150 in verse 6 it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. We're to be thankful people and praising people. And we ought to be more than excited about praising the Lord. Paul said in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And then he said at the end of the verse, and be ye thankful. In Psalm 113 in verse 3, it says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We're to praise the Lord. And so while we all enjoy, I think everybody enjoys Thanksgiving. I would assume you enjoy the turkey and all the trimmings and all of that. There are other things that I'm thankful for that I'm going to mention a few tonight. Things that matter every day, now, some of them matter through all eternity, not just a day. All of us, I think, should be grateful for these things. Unfortunately, there is a selfish, ungrateful group of people who don't do what the Bible says in Psalm 50. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. We're to offer unto God thanksgiving. But there's a group of people that don't. Because too many people are consumed with their own personal well-beings. So they don't give a lot of thanks. Paul ran into some. Now I do want you to turn here. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Verse 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me. And he says, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. So now he's weeping. That they that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Paul ran into a group of people evidently there in Philippi that were that way. Fanny Crosby wrote something that was the dead opposite. She said, Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I can't and I won't. And yet, here's a blind lady. Let me give you a few things I'm thankful for. First of all, everybody that's a Christian ought to be thankful for this one. So what's the first one? Salvation. Our salvation. I'll go back to Psalm 27 for a minute. It says, the Lord is the light, is my light and salvation. The Lord is. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. What a gift. How, do you ever really feel like when you say, Lord, thank you for my salvation, it's really not adequate? I mean, it's what you come up with, and I say it all the time as well as you do. But the truth is sometimes it just doesn't feel sufficient. We don't have this great salvation because we deserve it. And we should praise the Lord every chance we get to praise the Lord daily for saving us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now listen, if you are a born-again child of God, you've got something to think about, sing about. You've got something to praise the Lord about. And if you can't think of anything else, it's your salvation I hope that you can think of. Because that's the greatest gift that you'll ever have. And I don't know that it's wrong to say, God, thank you for saving me. I don't know that it's wrong to say that every day. I don't think that it is. Secondly, I'm thankful for sustenance. I mean, David said in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And you know God does. God does. Every day. James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now you remember the children of Israel? When God sent them manna? Remember what the Bible said over there? It said, they loathed the manna which God sent to them in the wilderness. They were unthankful. You know why? That manna became commonplace. We eat the same thing every day. Look at when I was in Bible college, I took peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to work for lunch every day of the week. I got to be honest, I never got tired of them. I still crave a good peanut butter and strawberry jam peanut butter and jelly sandwich every once in a while. Actually, quite often. I could probably still eat them every day. I ate them every day for years. And I just love those things. I'm easy to please. I'm not somebody who says, well, I had that the other day. I can't eat it again. Look, and I can eat it every day, man. Just put some food in front of me. But I like a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Beats starving, doesn't it? How many of you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I'm just telling you, you just can't beat Old Faithful right there, you know? But anyway, so the children in Israel, they got this manna. It became commonplace. Listen, sometimes God has been blessing us so long, it becomes like a routine. I just expect it. You ought never to just expect it. We take God's bountiful blessings and his bountiful provision for granted. The psalmist said in Psalm 92:1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." Now listen, you talk about food. We have more than enough food. If you really need some food, Kinney Drugs donated us some food here. If you want some cereal, if you eat ice cream in the winter, we've got ice cream cones back there. You can take a couple boxes of ice cream cones. Pop-Tarts. Lots of Pop-Tarts. Listen, you got kids, they like Pop-Tarts. Grab a few boxes of, I'm not kidding, grab a few boxes. They're not very good Pop-Tarts. I have to tell you, I tried one. It's like, eh, but whatever. The price is right. They're free, and you could, I'm not a Pop-Tart guy. Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay, a Pop-Tart, eh. But let's see. So there's cereal, two or three kinds. You know, Kidney Drugs called us up, and Mike Glazier delivers drugs and stuff for the store over there. And they said, if you want this food, you can have it. So we had it. That was just kind of like North Star when they had all those apples here the other day. But you talk about food, we've got more than enough food. But there's still millions of people around the world, they don't have enough food. Now, it's not like it was. It's about 50% of what it was, at least that's what I've read. But there's still a lot of hungry people out there. Be thankful for what you have, and don't be critical about what you don't have. I'm thankful for the sustenance that God has given to us. Thirdly, I'm thankful for service. Look at Psalm 100. This may be right. It may not be. Oh, yeah, that's right. Psalm 100 and verse 2. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Listen. To serve the Lord is a privilege. Serve the Lord with gladness. What a joy. Ever think about this? Remember when Jesus was having the Last Supper with his apostles? And we use it a lot of times talking about when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. But Jesus took the bread and he took the cup. And what did he do? He gave thanks. What did he give thanks for? He gave thanks for his suffering. He came to do the Father's will. He was willing to pour out his life's blood in a sacrificial giving that you and I might be saved. He was more than willing to pour it out, actually, his life's blood in sacrificial giving, that we sinners might come to know Jesus as our Savior. Do we serve the Lord with gladness, even if it involves a bit of sacrifice in hardship? Years ago, oh, it's been years ago, I wasn't even the senior pastor here, but I was like a bus worker, and I drove the bus. I visited the bus on Saturday, I visited the bus route on Saturday, I drove the bus on Sunday. And we weren't loaded with bus drivers, because even back then you had to have a special license to drive a bus. Well, we had a family get-together up in Plattsburgh, that's about 4 hours away, and I said, we're going to have to take two cars. Because I'm coming back to drive the bus on Sunday because there's nobody else around here to drive the bus. So I drove up. We drove up two cars. And then Sunday morning, I got up, I want to say 4 o'clock in the morning, drove back 4 hours, about 4 hours, and took a shower or whatever, and then ate breakfast, and then I had to drive the bus. That didn't seem like a grievous thing to do or a burdensome thing to do. It was a privilege to serve the Lord. Now, we don't have buses anymore because the great state of New York has made it almost impossible for a church to own a bus with all the DOT inspections that we have to. We got to follow the same thing as a public school system. If your car has a rust hole in it, okay, you're lucky you don't have to have a DOT inspection, because a bus, if it has a rust hole anywhere, fails inspection because they say it's not safe. Well, look it, we had buses that you could check the condition of the road just by looking down. You know what I mean? Okay, so they had some bad floors here and there, but especially where the stairs go like this, you could say, huh. But so that you couldn't run those anymore. So we don't have buses, but we have vans. It's a we don't run them right now, and we probably won't be running them for a while if things keep going the way they're going. But listen, what a blessing to serve the Lord. It just is. Preparing 4 sermons a week sometimes can be a challenge, but it's not a drudgery. Now, this week is Thanksgiving week. It's actually a little harder to prepare 4 sermons. You got Thanksgiving, and then you got deer season. So exactly when I go home after service tonight, I prepared this lesson Monday and a little bit this morning. Then I started another one this afternoon, and I'll go home after church tonight. Now try to finish that one up because my brother's up from Florida and he wants to go hunting tomorrow. So now that's going to ruin that morning, and I got to do something. I mean, you know, it's just, don't you feel sorry for me? But I hope you don't. I choose to do those things. But I'm just saying, it's just a privilege to serve the Lord. Fourthly, I'm thankful for strength. I'm thankful for thanks to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for strength that God gives me overall. My help cometh from the Lord, the psalmist said, which made heaven and earth. And by the way, I brought my phone to church this evening, which I don't usually do because I have at least 3 or 4 prayer requests on there from people with health issues. I'm grateful that I have pretty good health. I mean, I don't have perfect health, but I'm going to be 61. I do anything I want to do. I go as much as I want to go. And I'm thankful to God for the strength that I have. So David said it like this. Let me refer back to Psalm 27:1 again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Someone asked the Bible teacher one time if he had a living Bible. That's really a bad translation. But he said, do you have a living Bible? He says, well, I certainly don't have a dead Bible. I can tell you that. There is strength in the Word of God. There is strength in the Bible. We thank the Lord for our King James Bibles. What a blessed book it is. The strength that comes from just bathing yourself in the Word of God. Paul said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Listen, when we have a thorn in the flesh, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what did God tell Paul? Verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I know you got a thorn in the flesh, but don't you worry about that. My grace is sufficient. When it comes to a temptation, we can take back and we can reflect on 1 Corinthians 10, where it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. You believe God is faithful? The Bible says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way what to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we reflect on these verses and we find strength. We read Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be thankful for the strength that we find in his word. And also be thankful for the joy of the Lord. I hope you have the joy of the Lord. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? Our strength. And then fifthly, I'm thankful for satisfaction. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? And then Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Satisfaction. Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, and Jesus satisfies. I got this somewhere. I don't even remember where. The 77-year-old doorkeeper of a Manhattan apartment building brought a quarter-page ad in the New York Times. He spent about $1,000 on this little portion. That was a pretty good chunk, though, of his life savings. This is years ago. And he wanted to print an essay at Thanksgiving entitled Thanks, because it was his way to thank God publicly for his good life in this country, for the loving parents that he had, for the jobs that he had throughout his life, and for the free land. And he said this, this last year has been such a wonderful year, so I pray to God that I may never forget to thank him each day. Don't forget the source of your satisfaction. It's the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, our God shall supply all of his needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He satisfies. He also said this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Remember at the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus stopped and he gave thanks over the loaves and the fishes. And then before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he thanked the Father for hearing his prayer because he knew what would happen. Even Jesus gave thanks. Sixthly, I'm thankful for a song. The psalmist said, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I don't know who wrote this. It just said selected wherever it was written. But it said, it's a thankless heart is a cheerless heart. It said an old gentleman, Gay, his name was Gay. On Thanksgiving Day, if you want a good time, then give something away. So we sent a fat turkey to Shoemaker Price. And the shoemaker said, what a big bird, how nice. With such a good dinner before me, I ought to give Widow Lee the small chicken I bought. This fine chicken, oh she, said the sweet Widow Lee, and the kindness that sent it, how precious to me, I'll give Washwoman Biddy my big pumpkin pie. And oh, sure, Biddy said, 'tis the queen of all pies. Just to look at its yellow face gladdens my eyes. Now it's my turn, I think. And a sweet ginger cake for the motherless Finnegan children I'll bake. Cried the Finnegan children, Rose, Denny, and Hugh. It smells sweet of spice. We'll carry a slice to little lame Jake, who has nothing that's nice. Oh, I thank you and thank you, said little lame Jake. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cake. And the crumbs, I'll give them to the sparrows that come, like old gentleman Gay on Thanksgiving Day. Every person, everything, all the way down through the whole thing, they were all thankful. Listen, if you want a good time, there is something to this. Give something away. It's a blessing. It really is. And then seventhly, I'm thankful for the saints. I thank God for the children of God. John said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. I'm so thankful for you, so thankful for the church, so thankful for the people of God. I just am. And then lastly, I'm thankful for the second coming. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And listen, you talk about a promise. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Won't that be something? The second coming? How about, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 12. Can you imagine the angels of God saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And then the chapter ends in verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's be thankful till Jesus comes, and let's just remember to thank him for all the things that he has for us. Father, I would pray that you would place in us a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, a heart of appreciation, a heart of love. Lord, and I just pray, God, that that would be us, not just at Thanksgiving Day, but it would be true for us every day of our life, that we can thank you and praise you and glorify you and honor you with our lips and with our life. In Jesus' name, amen.